there to greet you. Then you go there and there's prasadam and such beautiful arrangements for you to take rest. And so no matter how much we do, it's not going to be anything compared to what Srila Prabhupada had gone through. So that's why we should be prepared to undertake any kind of difficulties that may come on a way to preach. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll start the program with a song. A song that I think all of you know. Tava Kathamritam, Gopi Geet. And what's the meaning of the song? Kathamritam, Krishna Kathamritam. Krishna Katha, the benefits of Krishna Katha. When we sing the glory of Krishna, when we hear the glory of Krishna, then what happens? Our suffering condition disappears. This morning we are describing our condition in this material nature is full of suffering. It's full of suffering. We are in a place of suffering, in a body which is meant for receiving suffering and pain. Do you remember? Many times I mentioned the nature of this body. What is the nature of this body? How many of you remember? Take any part of your body and think in how many ways you can give pain to that part. Did you select any part? Anyway, I have selected my earlobe. I can't even see it, I don't even feel it, that it is there unless I touch it. Now think in how many ways you can give pain to this earlobe. Take a knife and cut the ears, how will you feel? Even if you don't take a knife, you take a needle and pierce it, how will you feel? Take some fire, burn it. How will you feel? In this way, how many ways you can think of giving pain to these earlobes? Now you think in how many ways you can give pleasure to this earlobe? Can you think of any way to give pleasure? Practically none. And that applies to every single part of our body. You can take any part of your body and you can think of thousands of different ways of giving pain to this part, but there is no way you can give pleasure. So then, what does this mean? This means that this body is meant for receiving pain. It's meant to receive pain, and what we're doing, we're constantly trying to avoid pain. So we are, without intelligence, we are trying to avoid painful situation. And this material nature is a nature of, it's a world of suffering. Dukkhalayam. Dukkha means miseries, sufferings. And alayam means the place, a place of suffering, this material nature. So we are in a place of suffering, so what can we get here? Only thing we can get is suffering. But the suffering condition is removed by Krishna consciousness. We become free from our suffering condition by hearing about Krishna. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. And it brings all auspiciousness. Srimadatatam shravana mangalam. Mangalam, our life becomes full of auspiciousness just by hearing Krishna Katha. So that's why this arrangement, so that we can hear Krishna Katha about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's mercy that is always being showered upon the living entities. So, now it's being also projected, I think, on the screen so that everybody can see and sing. Tav kathamrita tapta jivana kobi bhiririta kalma shapaha. Shravana Mangala Shrimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Ye Bhurida Jana. Jayati te dhika janamana braja shayata indira shashvadatrahi. Doita drishyata dikshuta baka toi dhrita shava tang bichinnate. Shardudashaye Shadhujatasa Sarasi Jodaro Shrimushadrisha. Suratanathate Shulkadashika Varadanighnato Neha Kimbadha. B
Vishajalapaya Vyalarakshasa Varshamaruta Vaidutanala. Vrishamayatmaja Vaishyato Bhaya Rishabhate Vaya Rakshitamohu. Nakhalu Gopika Nandana Bhava Akhila Dehina Antaratma Dri. Bikhano Sharthito Vishaguptaye Shakhau Deva Satatankule. Tavo kathamrita tapta jivana kobi bhiririta kalmashapaha. Shavana Mangala Srimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Jibhuri Dajana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Nitai go Hari bol, Hari bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshutarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. So, this is the first session of the seminar for next 4 days. In 8 sessions, we will have this seminar. The topic is Krishna's pastimes from Garga Samhita and other Puranas. We generally get to know about Krishna's pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam. But Krishna's pastimes have also been described in various Purans and Samhitas. Garga Samhita is one of them. Do you all remember who is Garga Muni? Garga Muni is the family priest, the Kula Guru of the Jadu family, Jadu dynasty. You remember Garga Muni came to Gokul for name giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. Basudev actually sent Garga Muni. My 2 sons are there, so please give their names. Name giving ceremony is one aspect of Vedic culture, one of the sanskaras, one of the processes of purification. So Garga Muni came and revealed who is Krishna, who is Balaram. He gave the names. And Garga Muni actually knew who Krishna was. He knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While giving his name, he actually told that this this boy, this child, appears in three other yugas. Sheta, Rakta, Statha Pita, Idaning Krishna Tangata. This boy came in three other yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Kali Yuga. He comes assuming three different colors. In Satya Yuga, he appears as Sweta, white. In Treta Yuga, Rakta, red. And in Kali Yuga, Pita, yellow or molten golden. Idaning, now, in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna Tangata. He has appeared in his dark complexion, Sham Shundar complexion. Idaning Krishna Tangata. Ashan Varnas Trayo Hi Eshang Grinhati Anujugang Tanu. Grinhati, he assumes, Anujugang, according to the Juga, Tanu, his form. And there, Sweta, Rakta, Stathapita, Idaning Krishna Tangata. Now he has appeared as in his dark complexion. So in this way we can see Gargamuni knew who Krishna was. So Gargamuni went to Naimisharanya. You know that sages assemble there to perform a yajna, 1,000-year-long yajna, to purify the atmosphere of advent of Kali. Kali Yuga is about to come, and there was a need for purifying. They knew that the Kali Yuga is going to be a very, very difficult age. It will be very, very contaminating, very, very degrading age. Therefore, they thought that this performance of sacrifice will purify the atmosphere. And that's the time Suta Goswami also came and gave them Srimad Bhagavatam. So Gargamuni also happened to be there. And Shaunaka Rishi, the head of the sages, he also asked Gargamuni, please tell us about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his pastimes. Gargamuni did not narrate his own experience to the sages there. Gargamuni actually narrated what Narad Muni, how Narad Muni described to King Bahulashya. Bahulashya was a great king from Mithila, where Sita Devi appeared. So in the same family, there was a king, Bahulashya. Bhagavatam also describes about King Bahulashya. He was such a great devotee that Krishna personally went to meet with him in his kingdom. But Krishna had one problem when he went to see him. There was a very poor Brahmana whose name was Shrutadev. He was also in the same city. So Krishna felt that I am going to see this very exalted devotee, Bahulashya, who is the king, but there is a poor Brahmana who is also a great devotee. So what Krishna did? Krishna expanded himself into two forms. One Krishna went to Bahulashya, and other Krishna went to Shrutadev. So this is how merciful Krishna is. This is how Krishna displays his mercy towards his devotees. So this Bahulashya, although he had personal association of Krishna, but he also wanted to hear about Krishna. So one day when Narad Muni came to his palace, he requested Narad Muni to describe about Krishna. So Narad Muni narrated Krishna's pastimes. So this is actually the background of Garga Samhita. Why I principally selected Garga Samhita? Because Garga Samhita gives some episodes of Krishna, some pastimes of Krishna, in a more elaborate way. Like, and so that's why, like Bhagavatam is giving us the descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. But actually Bhagavatam is giving it in a very concise way. But in other Puranas we get more elaborate descriptions, and some of the pastimes are more elaborately described in Garga Samhita. And so when Bahulasha asked about Krishna, not that Bahulasha didn't know who Krishna is, but the devotees describe Krishna's pastimes in order to increase their attachment to Krishna and help others to develop their attachments to Krishna. Because more we hear about Krishna Katha, the more relishable it becomes. That's the difference between Krishna's pastimes and mundane activities. Mundane activities we just hear once and we get tired. Even the best dramas, best movies, how many times you go to see that? I know that you don't go to, but generally people, there are some drama that had been going on for a long, long time, Les Miserables in London, is going on for years. But people don't go to see it every day. People just see it once. Those who have seen once, they had seen it best. It's only those people who come from all over the world, people come to London, and one of the things they do is to go and see Les Miserables. That's why house is always full. That's why the show is going on for years together. So like that, there are mundane activities we just hear once or see once and we get tired of it. But that's not the case with Krishna Katha, Krishna's pastimes. The more we hear, the more we relish it. The more it comes with greater revelations, greater understanding, greater realizations. That's the wonderful thing about Krishna Katha. So that's why it also helps us when there are more details. When there are more details, we get to relish it even more. And so he pointed out that who Krishna is. Krishna has various incarnations. Just as Srimad Bhagavatam it has been described. There are various incarnations. But all these incarnations are Eti Changsha Kala Pungsha. They are all parts and parts of the parts. But Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Shri Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Narad Muni started to describe the condition of the earth planet due to the demoniac influence. All the demons, they were tormenting Mother Earth. And as a result of that, Mother Earth, in the form of a cow, went to Lord Brahma and told Brahma, please do something. You are the head of this universe. You are the most powerful personality in the universe. So look what these demons are doing to me, headed by Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Duryodhana. So Brahma said, look, this situation even I can't control. I can't do anything. So let's go to Vishnu. So they went to the milk ocean. In this universe, there is a milk ocean. And in that milk ocean, Vishnu lies as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Kshir means milk. And Shai means lying. So Vishnu, who is lying in the milk ocean. That's Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Mahavishnu, then Mahavishnu is lying in causal ocean. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu in the universe is lying in Garbha ocean. And then Kshirodakshayi Vishnu is lying in the milk ocean. And this Kshirodakshayi Vishnu is the source of all incarnations in this universe. Whenever Lord incarnates in the universe, he actually, that is expansion of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is also the super soul of all living entities. So they went to Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Brahma took the demigods and Mother Earth to Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So in Bhagavatam we get to know that he did not appear. When Brahma was offering prayers to him, the Lord didn't appear. He heard a voice. He just heard a voice saying that I will come. Why they didn't see Vishnu but hear the voice we can get the clarification here in Garga Samhita. That voice was actually Krishna's voice. He said that he was going to come. The Garga Samhita is giving a more elaborate description. So Vishnu, when Brahma along with the demigods went, Vishnu said, look, I also can't do anything. Let's go to Krishna. So then they got into a boat. All the demigods, including Brahma and Shiva, and Vishnu also, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu also. So Kshirodakshayi Vishnu was guiding them. There was a river flowing from the crack that was caused by Vamandev's toenail. What is that river? There's Ganga. So through Ganga, they sailed, or in a boat, they went. They went out of the universe. And they kept on traveling. So this is how we can see. Ganga is not generating here. Ganga is actually coming from the spiritual world. So from there they went to the causal ocean. And they started to move. And they saw their universe became small as a little berry. Like a small little fruit. And then it disappeared. And then they saw that many such universes are bobbing up onto the surface of the causal ocean. They couldn't understand what was that. What was happening? What are those things that are just coming out and disappearing? So then they came to 8 cities, brilliantly luminous, What are those eight cities? Those eight cities are the eight layers of the material nature. The layer of earth, layer of water in the causal form. Fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence or ahankar, mind, ahankar, and the layer of material nature. So they went beyond those cities. Then they came to an area which was effulgent with brilliant light. That light was so bright that they were kind of losing their consciousness. What is that light? That light is Brahma Jyoti. And they started to offer prayers. Brahma started to meditate upon the Lord's lotus feet. And then they came to a region where they saw a beautiful 1,000-petaled lotus. Those lotus looked like the lotus of light. And in that lotus, on that lotus, there was Ananta Shesh expanding his 1,000 heads. And on top of that was Golok, Krishna's abode. So they came to the gate of Golok and they saw some extremely beautiful ladies were guarding the gates. And so they asked that lady who was the head of the gatekeepers, and she asked, "Who are you?" So Brahma said, "We are coming from the universe. Here is Vishnu, Shiva, and all the demigods. We have come because the earth planet is in a great distress there. Mother Earth has came to be rescued from that distressful condition." So this lady asked, "Which universe are you coming from?" No, she then went inside. And then after some time, she came back. And she introduced herself. "My name is Sata Chandranana." Sata Chandranana means, Sata means 100. Chandra means moon. And Anana means face. She was so beautiful, her face was like hundreds of moons. So she came and asked, "From which universe did you come?" So Brahma became a little bewildered. "Which universe? How many universes are there?" So then Vishnu intervened. He said, "We are coming from the universe where Lord appeared as Prishnigarbha, and Lord Brahmana cracked the covering of the universe by his toenail." So she went inside again and she came back and said, "Come in, the Lord is willing to see you." So they went inside the gate and they saw this beautiful place. And millions of cows everywhere. And very handsome cowherd boys attending those cows. And there are so many beautiful women. Their beauty cannot be described by words. And the whole place seemed to be so full of joy that just by being there, they were experiencing inconceivable joy there. So they finally came to Krishna. And on the left-hand side of Krishna was sitting on a throne. And on his left-hand side was Srimati Radharani. So Brahma offered obeisance. All the demigods offered obeisances and offered their prayers. And then Brahma started to narrate why they came there and asked him to help them from this miserable condition that the earth is facing. So upon hearing, Krishna said, okay, I'll come. I'll take birth in the Jadu family. And you tell all the demigods also to take birth. I'll come with my brother, Balaram. And Kamdev will become Pradyumna, my son. And Brahma, you will become the son of Pradyumna. Your name will be Aniruddha. So this way Krishna described how he will come along with his Chaturbhuha, Balaram, and Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So when Krishna was telling that he would go to the earth planet, Radharani became so sad. She started to cry as if she was going to faint. So Krishna consoled her. Don't worry, Radha. You'll also come with me. Radharani said, no, I don't want to go to a place where there is no Vrindavan, there is no Govardhan, there is no Kalindi. So her thing was, she wouldn't let Krishna go. But when Krishna said, okay, you can come with me, she said, no, I won't go. Because there is no Vrindavan. You're going to this terrible material nature and earth planet. No, there is no way I'm going there. Then Krishna said, okay, a part of Golok will be sent there. 84 kroshas of Golok will be sent there. And yes, Govardhan also will come there. And Jamuna also will be there. So then Radharani agreed to come. So in this way, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is now going to come. This is the difference. Shiradakshai Vishnu could not do anything or did not do anything because this is the time when Krishna is going to come. No such incarnation. Said Sambhavami Juge Juge, not that Juge Juge appears, those incarnations, avatars. This is not that Jugavatar. This is the time when Krishna himself is going to come. Swayam Bhagavan, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That original Supreme Personality of Godhead would come. So, and in this way, Krishna decided to come. Now, in there, they experienced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all incarnations. When they were the demigods and Brahma were there, they saw that Narayan of Vaikuntha came there and he merged into Krishna's body. Then they saw Sahasrishesha Purusha appear there, merged in Krishna's body. They saw Nrisingadev come and then enter into Krishna's body. Lord Ramchandra came, entered into Krishna's body. So in this way, they saw that how different incarnations are actually parts of Krishna. So this is how they could get the understanding. So, and then they went back to their respective places. And the earth's condition was so terrible because the demons were causing the distress. It was the end of Dwapar Yuga, and the demons were they have taken over the control, especially Kamsa. Kamsa was one of the main culprits, the greatest of the demons of that time. And Kamsa was a demon called Kalnemi. And when the milk ocean was churned in order to get the nectar, there was a fight ensued between the demigods and demons. And at that time, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Kalnemi. Although he was killed by Hari, he was revived. Shukracharya has the power to revive a dead person called Mrita Sanjivani mantra. Mrita means dead. Sanjivani means reviving, giving life back again to a dead man, dead person. So Shukracharya, the guru of the demons, has the power to revive the dead demons. So Kalnemi was revived. He got his life back again. But this time he wanted to take revenge against Hari. Okay, Hari killed me, so I will take revenge. I will kill Hari. So this Kalnemi appeared as Kamsa. And there is also another history of Kamsa's birth. King Ugrasena had a beautiful wife, Padmavati, the queen Padmavati. And one day when Padmavati was roaming in the garden, a demon called Drumila became enchanted by her beauty. So this demon assumed the form of Ugrasena and approached Padmavati. So Padmavati thought it was her husband. So they united. But at that time she realized that it was a demon. It was not her husband. But it was too late. And as a result of that union, a child was born. And that was Kamsa, who was Kalnemi. And he was so powerful that even when he was a little boy, he used to fight with the big, powerful wrestlers and defeat them. So powerful as a little boy, he was defeating all these big wrestlers because of his acquired power. In order to kill Hari, Kalnemi actually performed great austerities like Hiranyakashipu. During this austerity, his whole body was eaten up by the ants. So his skeleton was there in the middle of an anthill. And Brahma came and asked him what he want. So Kamsa, Kalnimi got different boons. And the demons generally want the boon for immortality. They all want to become immortal. So he wanted the boon of immortality. But Brahma said, look, I can't give immortality. Because everyone in this world is mortal. So then Kamsa said that I won't be defeated by any demigod. And he considered that Vishnu is a demigod. So he thought that he is going to defeat Vishnu and kill him. So Brahma granted that boon, and Kamsa was extremely powerful because of his austerities. And once Kamsa was fighting, wrestling with the other demons, powerful demons, at that time, Jarasandha was camping with his army on the bank of Jamuna. And he had an elephant called Kubalaya Pira. It had the strength of 10,000 elephants. This one elephant had the strength of 10,000 war elephants. So that was Jarasandha's elephant, Kubalaya Pira. And so that elephant got loose from his shackles and it went out and started to plunder everything everywhere. So when the elephant came to the wrestling arena where Kamsa was fighting with the other wrestlers, all the wrestlers ran away. But Kamsa confronted that elephant. He was just 14, 15 year old boy. He confronted that elephant. And the terrible fight ensued. It was not easy to defeat that elephant. Kamsa would hit the elephant would take Kamsa by his trunk and then smash him on the ground, but nothing would happen to Kamsa. So Kamsa would get up and then hit the elephant. The elephant would faint. Then again it would regain consciousness and attack Kamsa. So finally Kamsa hit the elephant to death, beat him to death. And then he took the body of that elephant, injured. The elephant became unconscious and he started to swing the body of the elephant and threw it. And the elephant landed where Jarasandha was, miles away. Jarasandha was surprised. What happened? Kubalaya appeared in this condition. Who could ever imagine that anybody could do that to Kubalaya Pira, because he's such a powerful elephant. Then Kamsa got to know that one boy, the son of Ugrasen, had done that. So Jarasandha was very impressed. Oh, such a powerful person. So he decided to give his two daughters, Asti and Prapti, to Kamsa in marriage. He got Kamsa married to his daughters, and thus Kamsa became Jarasandha's son-in-law. And Kamsa became extremely powerful. Then one after another, Kamsa, being so powerful, Kamsa went out challenging and defeating different demons. Then Kamsa defeated, there were five sons of a king of a place called Mahishmati. And those five sons of the king, five princes, were Chanur, Mushtik, Kuta, Shala, and Toshala. And they all were very, very powerful wrestlers. So Kamsa went and challenged them. And he made a condition that if you defeat me, then I'll become your servant. But if I defeat you, then you'll have become my servant. So Kamsa defeated them, all these five wrestlers. So that is how Chanur and Mushtik and Kuta and Shal and Toshal became subservient to Kamsa, became servants of Kamsa. And then one after another, Kamsa defeated, went to Pravarsana mountain and defeated a gorilla called Divida, a monkey, Divida monkey. And Keshi, demon, then Kamsa went to Mahendra mountain, and Kamsa, just to show his strength, he lifted the mountain 100 times and placed it back. Just like the bodybuilders lift weights, Kamsa did that. And that mountain is the mountain where Parashuram lives. So Parashuram became very upset. Oh, you upstart Kshatriya, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Okay, you are showing your strength. Here is the bow. This bow was given by Vishnu to Lord Shiva in order to kill Tripurasura. And then when I decided to chastise the Kshatriyas, Lord Shiva gave me this bow. So let's see if you can string this bow. If you can, then I'll see. I'll consider that you have the strength to challenge, to encounter with. So he took that, Kamsa took that bow, and quite easily he strung the bow. So then Parshuram, and then he told Parshuram, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm a demon. So Parashuram became quite pleased with Kamsa and he gave him the bow. And he said, take this bow. And but one thing, when this bow is broken, then that will be the time when he will die. And the person who breaks the bow will kill you. So that is why we see that Krishna went to Mathura and it was this bow that was being worshipped. So anyway, I'll come to that part later on. So in this way, Kamsa got the bow. And by subduing all the demons like Keshi, Chanura, Mushtika, Shal, Toshal, Kuta, and Arishtasura, and all these demons Kamsa defeated. And Kamsa started to go to challenging different people, different demons. And there was a demon called Narakasura. Narakasura. So he went and challenged Narakasura. Narakasura's capital was Pragjyotishpur. Pragjyotishpur is today's Assam. So that was the capital of Narakasura. So when Kamsa challenged him, Narakasura himself didn't get into the fight. He sent one of his assistants, Pralamba Sura. So Kamsa defeated Pralamba, and after that he defeated different demons like Vatsasura, Bakasura, Kamsa defeated them. Then Bakasura, after being defeated, surrendered to Kamsa and accepted him as his master. And Kamsa said, okay, I accept you as my brother. So then Bakasura's sister came to fight with Kamsa. Who is that? That's Putana. Putana came to fight with Kamsa. Then Kamsa said, look, I have accepted your brother as my brother. So that way, you are like my sister. And besides that, I don't like to fight with a woman. So anyway, I accept you as my sister. So this is how Putana became Kamsa's consort. Putana became Kamsa's servant, maid servant. So in this way, Kamsa defeated like Pralambasura, Dhenukasura, Trinabartasura, Bakasura, and then Narakasura then accepted defeat and made friendship with Kamsa. So then Kamsa went to Shonitpur, the capital of Vanasura. And Kamsa also defeated. Before they got into fight, Lord Shiva actually came. Lord Shiva was protecting Vanasura. So he told Vanasura that, look, you can't kill him. Only Krishna will kill him. So make friends with him. So on Lord Shiva's advice, Vanasura also became Kamsa's associate. So then Kamsa started to attack the demigods in heaven. And that's also an elaborate description of how Kamsa defeated the demigods. And after defeating the demigods, Kamsa actually took the throne of Indra and brought it to Mathura. Now, in the meantime, Garga Muni went to Ugrasen's assembly. Ugrasen was the king of the Jadus. And his brother is Devak. Devak had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Devaki. So Garga Muni went and told Ugrasen and Devaki, Kamsa also was there, that the suitable match for your daughter is this, is Vasudev. So get her married to Vasudev. So being advised by their Kula Guru, by their family priest, they decided to marry Devaki to Vasudev. And with great pomp, the wedding took place. And Kamsa himself decided to take his sister and Vasudev to the palace of King Devaki's palace. Vasudev's palace. And as you all know, like while they were driving, Kamsa heard this voice from the sky saying that the eighth son of your sister, whom you are carrying so affectionately to her in-law's house, husband's house, will be the cause of your death. So Kamsa, upon hearing that, immediately he pulled out his sword and was about to kill Devaki. So now we can see the demoniac nature. demons are so selfish that, or rather, demoniac nature makes one so selfish that they do not have any stability in their character. In one hand, so affectionately he is carrying her, his sister, to her husband's house. But in a flash of a moment, his whole attitude changed and now he wants to kill her. So Vasudeva reasoned with Kamsa. Kamsa, you are a great hero. What will happen to your reputation if you kill a woman, especially your own sister? And this way, Vasudeva kept on advising Kamsa. Why are you afraid of death? Death is born as soon as one is born. And the life is a journey from birth to death. It's a journey. And at the end, we are going to meet the destination. And the destination is death. Actually, all of us, living entities, we are constantly moving towards death. But death is not the end. Another body is generated already for one to go into. When one leaves one body, another body is there already to take over. But Kamsa was such a demoniac that he wouldn't listen to any good advice. Then finally Vasudev told that, look Kamsa, you have nothing to be afraid of. Devaki is Devaki's son that you can expect any such onslaught. So spare Devaki. I promise that when the children are born, I will take them to you. So now Kamsa knew that Vasudeva was very, very truthful, extremely truthful. So he accepted this assurance and he agreed. Okay, so he let Devaki go. And as the children were being born, Kamsa was killing them one after another. Now here is also one thing that you see in the Vedic culture, we see that how the happenings of the present has relationship to the happenings in the past. It's the past that creates the present. Whatever is happening to us is not happening accidentally, but it's happening due to karmic arrangement. So, actually what happened is, okay, now Kamsa is going to kill all these six children. Vasudeva, right after their birth, is going to take them to Kamsa. So they made the arrangement that six demons whose name were Satgarbha. Sat means six. And Garbha means who would appear in the womb. They were in a sleeping state deep under the ocean. So the demigods started to place these demons one after another in the womb of Devaki. And Kamsa was killing. As a matter of fact, what happened is these six Satgarbhas were actually six sons of Kalnemi. You remember Kalnemi? In the previous life, Kalnemi was Kamsa was Kalnemi. So his six sons were performing austerities to get the benediction from Brahma that they could become kings. But the king at that time was Hiranyakashipu, their grandfather. So when Hiranyakashipu got to know that, Hiranyakashipu cursed them. That you want to become the king, okay. I curse you that your father will kill you. So now you see, this Kalnemi became Kamsa, and these Sadgarbhas had been placed in the womb of Devaki one after another by the arrangement of the demigods, and the curse of Hiranyakashipu is fulfilled. Their father is killing them one after another. So this is how 6 children were killed of Devaki and Vasudeva. When Kamsa was killing Vasudeva's sons in this way, Ugrasen tried to stop Kamsa. Kamsa would not listen. Ugrasen, the father, said, "Why are you doing that? Your sister's children, you're killing them like this." But Kamsa wouldn't listen. So Ugrasen then sent the army to arrest Kamsa. But Kamsa was so powerful that he, with his army, defeated Ugrasen's army, and he went and captured Ugrasen and put him in prison. And he became the king now. Another characteristic of a demon: they don't care for their father even. If the father comes on their way, they don't mind wiping out that obstacle. So this is how Kamsa actually imprisoned. Ugrasen was imprisoned in Kamsa's prison. So in this way, now 7th child appeared. Who is the 7th child? 7th child of Devaki and Vasudeva is Balaram, Shankarshan. And he stayed in the womb of Devaki for 7 months. And then, by the arrangement of Jogomaya, he was taken to the womb of Rohini, who was staying in the house of Nanda Maharaj, another wife of Vasudeva, who was staying in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So he, this is how Balaram was born as the 7th son of Devaki in the womb, from the womb of Rohini. And so now is the time for Krishna to come. Now Kamsa actually imprisoned at this time Vasudeva and Devaki so that they cannot unite to give birth to the 8th child. So this is how Kamsa tried every possible means to stop the... first of all, he killed all the 7 children, and now he tried to stop even Krishna's appearance as the son, as the 8th son. So they put them in the prison, shackled them. And how he actually put them in prison, I don't feel like describing because it's too painful to even describe. But still, Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudeva, and from Vasudeva's heart, he was transmitted to Devaki's heart. And he appeared to Devaki's womb. So this is how Krishna appeared, and in due course of time, Krishna was born. A beautiful child. They could see it's Narayan, 4 arms. But Devaki and Vasudeva became overwhelmed with emotion that such a beautiful child is born, and now Kamsa will come and kill this child. So, seeing their anxiety, and fear, Krishna assured them, "Don't worry. Kamsa cannot kill me. I have come to kill Kamsa. So you do one thing, you take me to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj gave birth to a daughter, so you bring the daughter. Putting me there, you bring the daughter here." So Vasudev did that. Immediately the chain from his body fell off. So that actually shows that the imprisonment of Vasudev was just a simple pastime. So shackles fell off, all the huge iron doors opened up, all the sentries fell asleep. Vasudev took the little child to Nanda Maharaj's house, but that house was on the other side of Jamuna, and it started to rain, torrential rains. So Vasudev is carrying the little baby, newborn baby. So Ananta Shesh appeared there and spread its hood over Vasudev's head to protect him from the rain. Then he came to the bank of Jamuna, and Jamuna was in full spate. The river was overflowing from the banks. So Vasudeva was wondering, how am I going to cross this river? So at that time he saw that one jackal, in front of him, just walked into the river and started to walk. This was actually Jogomaya showing the way to Vasudev. Don't worry, you can cry, you can easily walk across Jamuna. So now Vasudev thought, this little fox was this high, so it can cross. So he also started to walk. And this is how he went across Jamuna and came to Nanda Maharaj's house, and he placed the little baby on the bed and picked up the daughter. Mother Jashoda, after the childbirth, was so tired, she was fast asleep. Everyone in the house was fast asleep, so nobody could see what actually happened. And Vasudev brought the child to Kamsa's prison. As soon as he came, the chains, the doors closed, the chains came back to his hands and feet, and the sentries woke up with the sound of the crying of the little child, and they reported to Kamsa. Then immediately Kamsa came running, and he took that baby with an intention to kill the baby by throwing the baby on the floor, stone floor. Devaki appealed, "Kamsa, this is just a girl. You have nothing to be afraid of, a girl. Your anxiety was the eighth son, but this is just a girl." But Kamsa, the demon, their natural tendency is not to listen to any good advice or any appeal, any request. He just picked up the child and he tried to smash the child on the stone floor. But the child slipped out of his hand, went up on the space, assumed her eight-armed Jogomaya form. And she started to laugh loudly and told Kamsa, "Kamsa, do you think you'll be able to kill me? But the one who is going to kill you has already appeared. So be prepared. So saying that, the Devi disappeared. She went to Binda Mountain, very close by. So that became Devi's place, and she assumed various names to be worshipped here by people. So this is how Kamsa... Now Kamsa became very repentant. He started to cry and said, "Look, Devaki and Vasudev, I caused so much pain to you. I killed your 6 children. And all to prevent my death from your 8th son. But in spite of all this arrangement, I can see that I could not be successful. So please forgive me." So Vasudeva and Devaki, this is the nature of the saintly personality. Although Kamsa caused so much distress, so much pain to them, but they forgot everything in a flash of a moment. He told Kamsa, "Kamsa, don't worry. Everything happens by the arrangement of destiny. It was meant to happen, so it happened. And don't lament. After all, we have 1 son with us. We have 2 sons. So, after all, we got something. We have been rewarded by the Lord." And saying that, they consoled Kamsa and appeased him. But Kamsa, as soon as he went and met with his friends, all demons, they started to tell Kamsa that Devi said that the one who is going to kill you is born already. So kill all the newborn children and stop the sacrifice of the Brahmanas. Because from the sacrifice, Vishnu gets his strength. The demigods derive their power. So, stop sacrifice and kill all the children. So this is how Kamsa's atrocities began. So, this is how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in this world. And so we will continue. I'll stop now. We'll continue in our next session at 4 o'clock. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.